Welcome to Lacrosse and Sport, the podcast for the fastest game on 2 feet and America's fastest growing sport. Here are your hosts, Roger Welton and Steve Jordan.
Hello, Lax lovers, and welcome back to the preseason episode of Lacrosse and Sport, coming to you with my buddy from California. Hello, Steve.
Hey, Raj. How you doing, brother?
Doing well, man. Getting really excited about the upcoming season. Everybody's in preseason training mode. All my high school boys are conditioning with their respective schools. They're not allowed to pick up sticks yet. It's all about conditioning. But I see some of the stuff these guys are doing, and, you know, I kind of question it. Some of it kind of reminds me of some of the stuff that you and I were doing back in the day, which isn't really too far advanced from those days. Remember that?
I certainly do. In my industry, we call it gym science. You know, we were going in there and doing movements that Arnold was doing, or Arnold Schwarzenegger, for those of you who don't know Arnold, but he was the godfather of bodybuilding, probably still is to this day, him along with Jack LaLanne and Lou Ferrigno and Tom Weider. So, you know, these guys were the pinnacle of building your body for strength and for looking good, but they weren't building it for performance at all. You know, there was no sports performance intention in any of it. And actually, you know, what we learned today in science is that if you're building your body like a bodybuilder, or using, again, what I said, gym science, you're going to be slow and you're going to increase your risk of injury, because your body is trained in mainly very one dimensional type movements, you know, where it's a push, pull, press, squat, lunge, where lacrosse and many other sports, not all other sports, are very three-dimensional, unilateral. So you have a lot of different types of motions going on that your body won't and can't adapt to if you train like that.
Yeah, that makes sense. I remember the workout the one year, I don't remember if it was our junior or senior year, but you'd brought up in pre-show working out in your parents' garage, you know, with your weight set, and you had that little universal in the back room there. And you know, that was what we did. We weren't doing much strength and agility and core work. It was just all about pumping up as much muscle as we could and, you know, getting out
totally
there and being big. But we didn't, I know it's almost comical, but you know, I look at some of these guys conditioning, you know, some of the things that they're doing. Now, luckily a lot of them go to, you know, Empire Sports, you know, our mutual friend, Edwin Jimenez, does a great job. Mm-hmm. Wonderful facility, and you know, a lot of great training going on in there. And unfortunately, it's kind of a minority of the guys that are going there, you know. But I hear what they're doing. You know, they're running bleachers, they're running laps, they're doing Indian sprints. You know, their conditioning is little more than what we were doing, you know, aside from the small group of guys that are attending Edwin's facility. So clearly, these are leftovers from obviously our generation that experienced that kind of stuff back in the day. But, you know, you hear all kinds of stuff going around in terms of, you know, what's the latest and greatest. You know, some people are all about CrossFit, and that's, you know, what they're doing. And one thing I commonly keep hearing come up time and again is high-intensity interval training, or HIIT training. And, you know, that's really something I'd like to focus on today and really pick your brain about, because it is very commonly in the conversation, certainly something that Edwin talks about. So is this something that you promote, something that you're involved in, and something that you think is useful to the lacrosse athlete?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, there are so many different fads and trends that you run across everything in life, including the fitness industry and sports performance industry. You know, CrossFit being probably the biggest trend of the decade among, you know, the fitness and performance enthusiasts. We have our good friend Justin LaSala, who is a, you know, CrossFit competitor at the highest level. He just was in Miami and, you know, crushed it there. The kid is unbelievable. And, you know, if you remember back in the day when we played football, well, I played football with him, and, you know, we played baseball with him and whatnot and other sports. But Justin was always an extraordinary athlete and had a build for that type of competition.
Yeah.
You know, not everybody is built for CrossFit. Not everybody is built for some of the type of training modalities that are trending today, including HIIT, which stands for high intensity interval training. I do believe that there is a period of time in somebody's training program that that could be applicable, but people don't know the programming progression to be able to implement it, and they don't know enough about it to be, and many trainers don't either. I'm sure Edwin knows it. I'm quite certain he knows the progression there, but many trainers even overlook that because, you know, they want to like inflict pain and suffering and, you know, sweat and, you know, almost blood, sweat and tears on, you know, their clients so that they can, you know, feel the reward of making their client challenged. And, you know, there's a perception today where more is better, and it's not necessarily true. So, you know, there's a lot of different beliefs, and I'll go more into that as we go on in this podcast, where I see the value, where I see some of the detriment to it, and how and when somebody could implement like a program like high intensity training.
So what is it? Tell me about it.
Okay, so high intensity training, I mean, you break it down, you know, word for word. So, I mean, you remember back in the day, interval training, right? Let's take that word for instance, right? Interval training has been around for as long as I can remember. I've been in the industry and studying it for 22, 23 years now, at the highest level. And really, you know, interval training is just it's a training model where you change different exercises moment to moment in between rest periods. And the rest periods can be zero. It could be 20 seconds. It could be 30 seconds. It's typically shorter, but it helps to train two different types of systems. And I'm going to get into a little bit of science here and you know, probably bore you out there, but I'm going to school you a little bit because this is stuff that has stood the test of time. It will be around, you know, 100 years from now. It's called anaerobic and aerobic training. Aerobic means with oxygen. So your body's utilizing oxygen as the primary resource for fuel to be able to get you through that, and your muscles utilize that energy system. And then there's anaerobic, which is without oxygen. So more short-term energy where your body's using for power, for strength. And interval training is the ability to use both of those energy systems. So when you're doing an exercise followed by another exercise by another exercise in what we might consider an interval or a circuit, just it's a figure of speech. It's all linguistics. It's just a different name. It's literally you're going from one without rest, so you're utilizing more oxygen and you have to use your aerobic system. But now you're doing exercises or types of movements that are requiring strength and power to be able to tax your anaerobic system. So a completely different energy system that's utilized by the muscles to do that performance or do that task. And that's the same kind of energy system that you would use in a game like lacrosse, right? So you're sprinting up and down the field, right, which is aerobic. And then you're also guarding or playing defense or pushing off of somebody and or jumping or cutting and rebounding, that is more anaerobic. So intensity, you know, the intensity of HIIT training is really applicable towards lacrosse in many sports. Now let's go into, you know, high intensity, and we use those words often. It's very basic and simple. I mean, it's self-explanatory. High intensity just means high volumes, high levels of intensity. So you're, you know, really maxing out. So like if you were, you know, what we use is the rate, like it's a scale of rate of exertion. So one being like a walk in the park, 10 being like a max effort that you can do for maybe a couple seconds. High intensity training is interval training using an intensity level of like an 8, 9, 10. Where you're almost maxed out, like where it's always super high, where you're on the threshold of exhaustion and failure. So high intensity training taxes your energy systems with, you know, that in mind. using, you know, typical type of movements from pushes to presses to pulls to squats to lunges to jumps to bounding to balance to core work. And it creates a very high demand on the body, mind, the spirit, literally, and just your willpower. Where very much where we, you know, we talk about games are won and lost in the last quarter, right? It's, you know, who has the best conditioning in the last quarter to be able to, you know, to play defense, to play offense in the clutch moments when there's, you're down a goal or two and you need to get in there and score or tie up that game. Or when the score is tied and you gotta just give that a little extra effort. You know, the high intensity training allows you to experience some of those types of feelings, emotions, mindset that will help you to get through a game of practice, you know, in those similar settings with that type of with that much on the line. So, you know, I think it's really very applicable, but I also think it can be very detrimental. So that, in a nutshell, is what high intensity training is. And there's so many different variables that can be manipulated. So the variables that can be manipulated are the exercise, number one, the amount of sets, the amount of reps, the amount of rest, the tempo, right? So slow, medium, or fast, and the recovery, maybe between those groups of sets. So you could do, you know, like maybe three exercises in a set, or you could do five exercises in a set, or 10 exercises in a set. So it really just depends. Those are some of the major variables that you can manipulate, and you can manipulate them in so many different ways. So the variability of this type of training program is very high, which makes it exciting too, because it's always different, which people like, right? People don't tend to like to do the same things over and over again. They like the variety. And I tend to like that too. But what I don't like about that is, just like throwing a ball against the wall, right? The basics create the fundamentals for foundation, for longevity, for skill, and for mastery. And oftentimes when people do HIIT training, the variety comes into play too often, where they never really build on a skill set. They never really build a foundation. They never really build a mastery of a skill, of some of the more basic skills that many of the other movements can originate from. So that's one of the flaws that I could see in many of the programmings with that, that I try to avoid in my own programming and with my own clients. So does that make sense?
Yeah. Now, what really makes sense to me is the different systems, you know, and I really never really had it broken down to me in that way. I mean, granted, you always had like sort of some of the insight that, you know, you're bringing in the strength side, with the benefit though of also, putting some cardio in it, you know, kind of the basic premise of that. But of course you went into it much more in depthly, and it really explains it very well why it's beneficial. Now, you also, to me, what's interesting is it does really apply to the lacrosse game. I thought of one thing, the face off. I mean, that sounds very anaerobic to me at first, right? It's just a wrestling match for that last maybe 5-10 seconds, you know, or ripping a shot, you know, that's just all power. But you might have to rip that shot while just having sprinted down the field on a fast break, you know. So I could see,
absolutely.
I could see
that's an excellent example.
Yeah. So with the lax fit that you do, we've done a whole show on lax fit, but just to remind everybody, it's a tailored program that Steve put together on his website. What's your website again?
The SteveJordanFitness.com.
SteveJordanFitness.com. So yeah, there's lax fit, there's surf fit. Basically, you know, these programs.
Abs fit.
What's that?
Abs fit.
Oh,
I just
abs
added
fit. Yeah.
As well.
So that must be new.
I
have to visit that and check that out. But these are programs
awesome.
You know, geared towards, you know, these disciplines, these sports, and obviously this is a lacrosse show. So with the lacrosse, with the lax fit, are you integrating HIIT into that?
Absolutely. All my programs are progressions, right? And that's what I was alluding to earlier, mm-hmm. where, you know, many people that are programming, professionals or even non-professionals, you know, there's so much stuff on YouTube today and other types of, you know, online stuff for free. You get what you pay for. You can go online and you can find any program, but what these programs don't do and they don't address is the foundation that I just talked about before, the mastery of certain skills, the mastery of, you know, specific movements that are going to help you excel in some of the movements later on that are a little more exciting, that are a little bit more sexy, that have a little bit more flair, right? Ones that may be more applicable to the game of lacrosse. So what I do in my program is it begins with its more moderate to foundation building, and it builds up as the program goes along. It's a, if I recall, it's an 8-week program, which is 2 months. And as that program goes through, it gets more and more intense, higher intensity interval training where there's little or no rest in between, really trying to get as close to mimicking the game tempo and the game as possible. And that's really the progression of the kind of training programs that I do that will benefit, you know, any athlete, whether you're a returning starter, an all-state player, an all-American player, even a professional player or a beginner. It can be applicable and applied for any type of population or any athlete playing the game of lacrosse. That's the benefit of doing a program like LaxFit, as opposed to going online and just finding a high-intensity training program for lacrosse or, you know, just a high-intensity training program. The person didn't necessarily take into consideration a progression. And so this again, does.
Yeah, that makes sense. It, you know, you could apply that to anything, really. You've got to walk before you run. You have to scoop and throw and catch before you can, you know, do other advanced things in lacrosse, like rip in a corner, you know, so, and certainly I'm sure the progression prevents injury too, right?
100%. That's one of the key elements. I mean, if you can't play the game, right, because you're injured, what good is it? And, you know, and again, going back to professional athletes, I've trained many in my career. You know, if you look at a professional athlete, and it's pretty cool to see even more now, like sometimes when you're watching a professional basketball game on TV, you know, you'll see the cameraman like kind of glance over in the pregame when they're doing some of the interviews or the pregame talks, and you'll see the players on the sidelines or on the court, you know, shooting baskets, foam rolling, which is, you know, was one of the first pioneers in foam rolling.
I thought you were crazy 15, when you 16 broke that
years
out.
Ago.
Back in New York.
Yeah, like 16, 17 years ago, you know, this tool. Right. People were going like, what is this thing? Now you're seeing it on TV and everybody knows what it is. And, you know, but it's cool to see these guys warming up in the way that I train all of my clients, not just the athletes. And it's the very similar to the ones that I have on the LaxFit program, you know, and these guys are at the highest level, at the peak of their season, when they're at the top of their performance, are still doing the basics. Right. And I think that that's a really fundamental lesson to be learned here, is that no matter what level you're at, the basics still have to apply. And I'm sure you can apply that to your practice of veterinary medicine, right? Like when you open up an animal for surgery, you have to apply the basic principles of, you know, anatomy, science, and your surgery technique before you can go in and do some, you know, other type of more, you know, specific before you can get into that. Am I right?
Well, we call surgery applied anatomy. Really, you know, it's just without knowing the anatomy, you better not be in there. But I completely respect that. And you know, you look at Paul Rabil on the lacrosse side of it, and he does some pretty crazy training stuff. Watching him train, it's something special. You know, he 29 years old now? He's pushing 30, and he's still performing out there in a young man's league. You know, first thing he does is he hits the wall. Bang, 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 bang. Righty, lefty. Bang, 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 bang. 40 shots left, 40 shots right. You know, he doesn't just jump into scrimmaging. He, you know, does all of his routines, his progressions with the basics, always focusing on the basics. And that should apply.
The most amazing athletes, and it's very interesting that you brought up Paul Rabil about that and what you addressed there. 100%. What we watch, there's this quote that I often use. What we revel or what we admire about athletes when we watch them is it's the practice, really it's the practice that we should really be like admiring. The time that these athletes put in before you even see them play is beyond what anybody ever puts in. Like Paul Rabil is putting in so many hours. We watch him when he's training and we're like, oh, wow, that's cool. I want to do that. But you didn't see how he got there, right? Mm-hmm. Kobe Bryant, like, would play a game and would stay after the game for an additional hour because I know some of my colleagues and friends who train him personally, like, he'd go and shoot baskets and free throws. How many millions of free throws that Kobe has thrown, even after a game where he killed it and crushed it and maybe had a high point, some of the highest scoring points, he would still stay after and shoot and like play around. The guy had a work ethic beyond anybody. Steph Curry, another one, right? Steph Curry was like an underdog. He was not a great like player in the beginning. He got hurt and he rehabbed himself to get to the point of where he's at today. He has a relentless motivation and focus to be the best that he can be. And these guys do the basics. And I don't mean just the guy, the girls of, you know, girl athletes do the same. Athletes at the highest level today put in so much time and effort, and it applies to every area of your life. If you want to be the best, you got to put in the time. So don't just jump into where you see these people who are practicing and playing and all these sexy different types of movements. Do the basics. Do LaxFit. Do another program by another professional that will be able to give you a progression so you're going, you know, through it all safely and efficiently, and you'll play your best game this season.
Yeah, you know, I don't know if you saw it on – it's going around Facebook. There's this coach from Australia. He's like – I forget his name, but he's a famous and highly successful rugby coach, I guess. Rugby's huge mm-hmm. in Australia. And yeah. He was talking about just looking at straight-up ability and talent in young athletes. I'm talking kids. And he said, avoid – the temptation to label that kid as a future professional because you're probably wrong. He said, looking at talent and talent alone is not an indicator of future success because he was saying that 9 out of 10 of those kids with that superior talent take it for granted. They don't have the work ethic. They don't have the determination. They don't have the wherewithal to see it through. To the next level. So he said that is one of the poorest predictors of future success and greatness. You do see these phenoms, you know. I'm coaching the 10U travel team right now, and there's a young man on the team. I don't want to say his name, but he might be one of those exceptions. I think you know who he is. He's one of my son's friends. This kid has exceptional talent, but the work ethic I see there too. He'll go home from a rigorous practice and he'll be on the rebounder. Bang, 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 bang. Just constantly trying to get better. Constantly. And he's almost like a man among boys out there, you know, in this group. And still, he's not satisfied with that. He feels a need to constantly improve. Rare to see in a 10-year-old, you know. Pretty amazing. But for the most part, though, you see these kids – a lot of them do take it for granted because, you know what, why should I work hard? I could jump out there. I got this superior talent. And, you know, the playing field's pretty level, you know, physically. Nobody's hit puberty yet, you know, so you don't have these freaks of nature out there that, you know, you feel intimidated by. For the most part, if you got exceptional talent, you feel pretty good about it, and you go out there and you kick butt, and it's effortless. You know, so I can understand that. It's really interesting. But a little bit of a tangent there. Sorry about that. What I wanted to get into next real quick was, you know, you talked about the training side of it. What about the nutritional side? What do you want to tell our athletes right now that are gearing up for the 2018 season? Remember back in the day how exciting this time was? We're lifting and running and lifting and running. And granted, we were probably doing very little right, but it was just felt good to be training and looking forward to the season. I remember it at the high school level, the college level, just the preparation. It was fun. It felt good. You know, there was a a means to our end, so to speak, you know, and anyway, can you elaborate on the nutritional side of it?
In the midst of all this hard work
that, you know, these guys are going to be doing and these ladies are
100%, you know, nutrition is paramount, and there's more science and studies on nutrition and sports performance and recovery and in the past 10 years than there ever has been. But I'm going to keep it pretty simple. I'm going to keep it actually very simple, because what I found that people tend to do is they complicate nutrition too often, where it confuses people to the point of, I say, they become like a deer in headlights, right? And they don't know what to do, so they don't do it. Or they, paralysis by analysis, right? They just try to figure it out. So there's certain key factors that I'm going to say. If what you're eating, if you look at the label at what you're eating, like the packaging, and look at the label, if you're in the grocery store, if you have it at home, if your parents bought it, if you buy it, and you look at the ingredients, and if there's something in those ingredients that you cannot pronounce, don't eat it. Okay. Another rule of thumb, if it wasn't here 1,000 years ago, or if your grandparents didn't eat it, don't eat it. Another rule of thumb, don't eat fast food.
Oh yeah.
Just don't eat it. Don't eat fast food. Don't eat it. Don't do it. I don't care if it's Chick-fil-A, if it's McDonald's, if it's without the bun, if it's whatever. Just staying straight up. If you want optimal nutrition, don't eat fast food. Stay away from French fries. Anything that has like the oils that they use and the French fries when you go to a place, stay away from French fries. And then last but not least, stay away from sodas, any kind of cola, any kind of soft drinks. Drink water and or some other like refreshing natural, you know, drink like a natural iced tea or natural, you know, green tea or like an iced green tea. Those would be five rules of thumb that I would say. So I'll repeat those. One, if you can't pronounce what's on the label, don't eat it. Two, if it wasn't here 1,000 years ago, or if your grandparents didn't eat it, don't eat it. Three, don't eat fast food. I'll say it again. Don't eat fast food. Number four is
no soda.
I forgot what number four. Oh yeah, no soda. No soda. Okay. And then there was a fifth one. What was that one? I forgot.
Maybe the fifth was no soda?
No French fries.
Oh, French fries, yeah.
No French fries.
That's a tough one.
No French
They're
fries.
So good.
There's a recent study that shows, and I'm actually skeptical of saying this, but I'm going to say it, that smoking a cigarette is better than having French fries, a basket of French fries.
Really?
So the nicotine in a cigarette is actually is almost a performance and a neuro transmitter, like it has the ability to like connect neurotransmitters. Actually pretty good. It's the tar, the tobacco and cigarettes, and it's the chronic smoking that affects it. If you had, you know, so that's why they say like one cigarette would be better than having like a bunch of French fries, like a supersized fries at McDonald's or something like that. It would have less harmful effects on your body than having those French fries would. But that doesn't mean to go smoke and, you know, don't pick it up as a habit.
Trade off the cigarettes.
Eat a French fry
for cigarettes.
don't do that. But they've shown studies that French fries are really bad. And a lot of the oils that they use are cheap. They're bad. And the fried food just kills your neurotransmitters. It kills your cells. It like clogs them and makes your nervous system. You remember, you know, this mitochondria. Right. The mitochondria of your body, and all you students out there, biology 101, mitochondria are like your working engines, your engines of your muscle tissue and of all your cells. Like the effects on fried foods like that, they clog and like make your mitochondria sluggish. So you can't perform at the highest level. and you can't use your muscles and you can't use your body and you can't use your mind efficiently in the way you should. There's tons of research on that today.
So that would probably apply to potato chips too, because it's fried carbohydrate, right? I mean, it
absolutely
same difference, really.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Very interesting. And imagine how well we would have done, Steve, if not for our Taco Bell habit back in high school.
You know what? That's so funny. Yuki, my wife, my lovely wife, asked me the other day if I ever had Taco Bell, and I, because we don't eat fast food here, and I said, yeah, one time or a couple times back in New Jersey, my friend Hoagie, Michael Pressman, brought me to Taco Bell. I think he found it. It was in like Union. And I told Yuki, I'm like, yeah, I think
we drove to Springfield.
Yeah, we drove to Springfield, which was like a 15-minute drive away from us to go to Taco Bell. And I think it was Hoagie who found it.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. And it was like a 20-minute drive.
And we used to bring it back to Hoagie's house.
Yep.
We used to bring them back to Hoagie's house. We had like 20, 30 Taco Bells. They would be like spread out all over the floor with all those blankets and pillows in his house.
Pigging out on Taco Bell. Yeah, all too often. God, it was worth the drive. But what were we doing to ourselves?
Again. Yeah, man, we weren't doing – we were holding ourselves back.
Yeah, and here we thought we were just feeding ourselves calories, and it's all about calories and, you know, protein shakes, and it didn't matter how much gas it gave you, you're gonna swallow down those protein shakes. I remember there was one I called – I don't know if you remember. There was one I took – I think you were on it too. It's called Hot Stuff.
Hot Stuff.
Hot Stuff. And that gave us the worst gas. And I remember as Brian Parrish. Brian's been on our show before, as a pain management expert, and he's a chiropractor, and he played lacrosse with us. And we're all on Hot Stuff, and we're just have tremendous gas, and we're sitting in algebra class, and I remember our buddy Rich Skolaski turns and he goes, man, I'm going to change the name of that stuff from hot stuff to hot farts.
So
like, you guys are killing me.
You're never going to believe it, but it still exists.
It still exists.
It is still, I just looked it up. It is still in the market.
Wow.
You can buy it on Amazon. And also there's a website called Hot Stuff Nutritionals.
Wow.
That's their website, hotstuffnutritionals.com. And the cover looks almost identical. It looks pretty much the same.
That's hilarious. I'm gonna have to look that up. I'd like to read the reviews on it, because Amazon has reviews. If anybody comments on the gas it gives you,
let's see if there's any.
You could power my calories with that stuff.
I don't see any reviews.
And I remember some of the trainers back then, and some of the guys that were giving us advice, in the gym. Touting some of the stuff, you tell them, God, it makes me fart an awful lot, and they'd be like, nah, it's working. That means you're getting the right amount of protein.
Actually, here are the reviews. It actually has like 55% 5-star, 21% 4-star, and there's like 14% 1-star. But a lot of the reviews 5-star. I'd buy it again. I think it works. Helped me with size and strength. I love this stuff. Works great. Tastes great. Recently joined a walking club. Light exercise. Daily walking. Da 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 da. When you want to enjoy your life, Hot Stuff can be your edge. Life is movement. I'm 50 plus. So it's still around. It's obviously still
the formula, updated or something. But
I'm sure
quite a memory there. But we had no real guidance and
nah.
Dave
Idle was our guidance.
What's that?
Dave Idle was our guidance.
And
that was the blind leading the blind.
To talk to you at the gym. Steve, I get to college and, you'd think that, we're talking 1992 to 1996 I played, right? And it's like, I remember getting to college and it was all about power cleans, squats, deadlifts, bench press, military press, all these power movements that, God, I'm lucky I have any joints left after that, and a spine.
It's the Jason Pressman workout.
Yeah, well, he's built a little differently than most of us,
Right. And let me go back to that again. And you just brought that up, and I brought that up as well about our friend Justin LaSala, and now we bring up Jason Pressman about being built for those type of movements, right? Justin LaSala built for CrossFit. The guy's short, stocky, like built like a shit brick house where he's, literally like a Mack truck. He's solid, like big bone density, right frame for all those type of movements. You know, for instance, me, like, you know, I'm, you know, almost 5'10", but I got really long arms. Like my arms, my arm length and arm span should be like for somebody who's probably 6'1". And no, literally, I mean, I have really long arm wingspan. So like if I do a bench, I'm at a disadvantage because I don't, I have a long lever that I need to push. So I have a more distance I need to cover. So bench press is not ideal for me. It's never been my best strength. However, legs, like I have shorter legs, and so I can squat more and do more because I have shorter distance to cover. So body size type is really important in knowing like how and what modality or what type of exercises would benefit you.
It's funny. I have the same proportions. I'm a little shorter than you, 5'8", but same thing. I could squat till the cows come home. Bench, I was kind of at a disadvantage as well. And, you know, I used to watch Justin bench, you know. And I'm like, he's got to just go down like 6 inches to his chest, it looks like. Whereas I had to travel all the way down, all the way up. You know, granted, my chest wasn't as big as his either. But I just always felt like I had this long – I never really thought about that. But, yeah, I have the wingspan of about a 5'10 guy. Versus my 5'8 stature, which you should be equal, right? Your wingspan should be your height.
Yeah, exactly. That's what they say. They say that your wingspan, like fingertip to fingertip, should be your height.
Yeah, so everybody keep that in mind. You got your long and lanky guys out there, and it's funny because I see it in my son. You know, we're letting him do a little bit of weight, and, you know, he's got a long way to travel. He's got that kind of lanky physique, and, you know, I find that some of the best stuff for him is more of like the core movements, the you know, because he's so long, you know, I've seen the most improvement in him when he's been doing a lot of core work. He's been doing that a lot lately with Edwin. So, you know,
and that would make sense because he's growing still and his nervous system is also growing and adapting to the new size and new length of the muscles and the bones. Right. So there's an adaptation that the nervous system has to take on to adapt to those new lengths that are created from just growing natural growth spurts. And so doing stable type of movements helps to organize the nervous system, the muscular system, and the skeletal system. You know, the basic progression to movement is simple to complex or no movement to movement. And if you can follow that simple progression, that's going to help you build towards, you know, a more athletic and performance-based type movement and athlete altogether.
Yeah, and it is interesting because the other one of my big takeaways, and I'd like your opinion on this. The Edwin had mentioned, you know, he's working mostly with developing athletes age 7 through 17, right? By the time they hit the professional ranks, at this stage in his career, he's not really doing the professional athletes as much. He's really focused on the youth. And what he's saying is quantitatively, every time a child hits a growth spurt, they're going to lose about 30% of their gains. And the number's that high, according to – he showed me a bunch of studies. And the program that he's putting these kids through is minimizing that loss to like maybe 10% as they stick with it. Would you agree that a speed, strength, and agility program, age appropriate, reduces – the loss of gains that significantly just based on anecdotally?
Yeah, 100%.
By 20%, because that sounds like a staggering number to me.
Yeah, it is a staggering number. Yeah. You know, I don't know the stats or studies. I've never seen them or even bothered to look at them. So I'm sure they exist.
Yeah.
However, you know, anything you do that's going to offset the loss of strength, coordination, balance, power is all going to be good. You know, anything that you can do to offset it. And, you know, it goes back to Newton's law of a body in motion stays in motion, right? So if you don't use it, you lose it. If you stop moving, you know, just stay in motion, just keep moving, no matter where you are in your phase of growth, of life, you got to keep moving. Some of the clients I admire most right now in my current client list are the oldest clients. I have clients that are 83 years old that are moving like athletes, that I have them doing stuff obviously at much lower levels and lower intensities, but these guys and gals are moving with, you know, poise and grace and athleticism that they didn't have before. And their doctors, like, are astounded often by their physicals. When they go in for, usually at that age, at like 83, you're going in for like biannual physicals, you know, twice a year. And the doctors, like, are always commenting on saying, you're in amazing shape. Whatever you're doing, keep doing it. And they're always like, it's awesome to see. And that's, I don't think it's, you know, a lot of them give me the credit, you know, and obviously I give them the credit back because they're the one doing it. I'm just coaching them. But it's really true. At any age, movement is necessity. And you got to just keep moving no matter where you are in life. Like, even if you're injured, like, you know, I mean, lacrosse is going to bring, even preseason and in practice and during the season, is going to bring on injuries. That's inevitable. Somebody's going to get injured. Hopefully not severely. Hopefully that won't end their career. But during injury, you know, work out, exercise. There's always a way to find a way to move. If you hurt your leg or your knee or your ankle or your toe, wherever hit, move your upper body. If you hurt your upper body, move your lower body. And that will help facilitate healing. It will keep your mind sharp. It'll keep you in the game. And it will allow you to bounce back better. And you'll get, even when you're, you know, when you're done healing, you'll have probably a shorter time span of coming back from that injury and playing, you know, where you were before. So I remember when you were injured, you know, you still trained. And when I was injured, I still trained. We worked around it.
Yeah, those are sad times because you want to do everything so badly, the body mutiny stage. But I think rehabilitation fitness, that's another great topic for a future show. Because, yeah. God, you know, the body, you're going to get injured. It's going to happen. And, you know, that, there's a nutritional aspect to that, too. We could really have fun with that. Pretty funny here, Steve. We had talked in pre-show about, you know, keeping this one short and sweet and staying on topic, and we just never managed to do that. It's just too much fun.
And so it is, but we have great stuff to talk about. Oh, this is invaluable information. You know, this is stuff that clients are paying me a lot for, that you know and studied in your medical science and curriculum. This is stuff that professional athletes are using. This is stuff that if you don't use it, shame on you.
Yeah.
Shame on you.
You know, and agreed. Take the information and use it. And we believe in it so much as an athletic club, a youth athletic club, that our travel teams, 10U, 12U, and 14, three teams, and whatever we're going to see, we want to actually do the same thing for the girls as well. We're working on that side of it. But our boys are having to practice already because their first tournament is January 28th. They spend one practice in Empire Sports facility with no gear. It's all just straight up training, you know, and we're getting into the psyche and the mindset of these kids at a very young age. These are 9 and 10 year olds, you know, starting there. And then it progresses to 12U, and the 14U guys, he's integrating lifting as well to integrate with their speed work, footwork, and agility and flexibility. Of course, that's another big thing, but we are trying to facilitate the parents' awareness of this stuff, right, and the importance of it, because if we don't, the next club up the road is going to do it and we'll be smoked and our kids won't benefit and they'll suffer for it. It's not like it was back in the day, you know. There's so much awareness out there, and the elite clubs, the elite teams, and the elite coaches are doing this stuff. So great discussion tonight. So everybody, gear up for the preseason. Take a look at the LaxFit program. It is phenomenal. It incorporates so many of the different aspects that Steve was talking about tonight. Steve, what's that website again?
SteveJordanFitness.com. Go to the tab section under programs, and you will find LaxFit. Let me see which one it is under there. So it is Online Fit. You go to the tab Online Fit, and it is the first one, the second one down there called LaxFit. And click on that. I believe that there is a trial, like a free option there where you can go in and just get a free workout, like a one day type of exposure to it. And then I believe it's $29.99 for a 8-week program, which is like
peanuts,
dirt cheap. Yeah. It's pretty much like a dollar a day.
That's a no-brainer to me. And I will also post that on the show page. It'll be available on iTunes as well as our show page at Blog Talk Radio. So just, hey, great discussion, Steve. Great to reconnect with you. It's 2 weeks in a row. I'm very happy about that. By the way, Billy's camp went great this past weekend. We talked about the big wave camp. Quite successful.
Awesome.
Yeah, very, very, very different from, you know, not that was all straight up lacrosse stuff, all technique. You know, the goal there obviously is not to physically train these guys, but just get them up to speed on the lacrosse side of it. And hopefully with the help of this episode, with the help of your LaxFit program and some of the things we're implementing via the club, everybody will get on board with the physical side of it. Any last thoughts there, bud?
No, lax on all.
Take care, everyone. We'll talk to you soon.